are not.
You won't like my answer.
Well, here's one answer. Because, you know, for the next, I know, for the next 20 years, well, once this stuff is done, 4 years' time, it's going to govern municipalities for the next 20. And municipal governments are the provider of local services. That should be the responsibility. Create strong local government and to rationalize the service we provide. So here's one that floating to the top was that we have the ability to give money away all the time to non-for-profits, to groups, to people, traveling, to sport. Best fund, we put non-for-profit halls on the exempt, which a lot of municipalities don't do. And I seriously, firmly recognize value in that. Probably a lot of these little halls won't be around. They got a tax. They got a tax. But then on the flip side, if communities valued their hall, wouldn't they find a way, rather than expect every taxpayer in Queens County? Not saying I don't value community halls, but is it really the responsibility of every taxpayer in Queens County to fund the community hall in my community that may or may not get much use, but because it's a non-for-profit on a tax exempt, or is it the responsibility of those communities? They really want their hall. Find a way to keep going ahead. 20, 25 years, we're not here. Other people here governing Queens, Oakland. That a service that all the taxpayers county should be providing. Taxpayers, government, service providers. Just saying.
I agree with that.
Okay, but taxes go into that?
Still do.
Wait, just council picks the winners or losers, yeah, as opposed to community picking the winners.
Councilor Fancy?
I go along with Councilor Charlton. It's slowly going to, our volunteer lists are getting lower and lower. We're going to, our churches, we're going to start losing our community halls and things, but for the people there who are trying, really are trying hard, so I can't say that they can't get everybody to come in to do it. They can't make everybody do something. They're going to run out of steam, and they're going to just disappear. But I think while they're still trying, with the tax.
So, okay, so the ability to give away money, you don't do have ability to give away money in certain then should we? Should we pick and choose who we give money to? Well, that's what I said. That's what I said. Do you believe it's useful? Considering it's 2 cents on the tax dollar. That one's. What about funding healthcare for us? And Eric, and our clerk may also have, has lots of involved.
Nothing specific other than staff effect, kind of, or service, or what our priorities are. Well, challenge, well, as it gets, scope. So all of a sudden, now transit probably going to be housing. We just talked about, well, should we be on the onset except, and so we're continuing to provide, trying to provide the same level of service, money, for resident numbers, incomes, but we keep getting all these extra things. So nothing specifically, but where it's healthcare, like, council going to deny 100,000 foundation healthcare services. Take the public scrutiny that we don't support our hospital, we don't support healthcare, or should that not have been allowed and that the profit should help not try to shame us or thousand? I think there's some things like that. Council will have to have a bigger discussion over that. That stuff. Even the grants organizations I struggle with, because some like rec center, they pay 100%, don't ask for a nickel, Milton Hall. Funds don't ask for a nickel. Some other places get money every year. Some don't get any money. So if we didn't have the authority to do that, have to fund them, everybody would have an area rate like Brooklyn. Why does Brooklyn have an area rate? They're paying for their own rec. Then they're also paying towards Milton's. They're also paying towards tax. That fair. But it's tough to answer, but I think it's about what's, I think we need to have that discussion around what's our core services, and the ones that are on the fringe really be in there. I mean, transit's another one. Significant benefit for those people that use it, that be a provincial responsibility. They're the ones providing the federal, yes, provincial money. They're the ones funding the buses and all that stuff. So do they really need our $28,000 a year? They'd just be paying that $20,000 a core service that we would. No, and it's just so hard, and every community is different. So even if you had this discussion down the road in Mahone Bay, they would have very different discussion than what we're having because of the nature of the services.
Are there any discretionary ability? What additionary discretionary ability sounds granted? Acting upon Councilor Carlton's, I would suggest a and elect that we currently don't have discretionary ability. Rest of council. example, if I stood up, and I'm gonna pick on Counselor Amaro now. If Counselor Amaro said something I didn't like, and for some reason I was just off my mind in a snit over something, and looked at her, and called her the most awfulest name in the book, and made horrible insults to her family and to her, you think I got the right to come in my office the next day and be the mayor for the next day and just come back in council? I mean, I know we have that little, or same thing, you know, how much should we have the right, and that would have to be under a code of conduct or whatever, but even under there, the Municipal Government Act clearly states the council does not have the authority to suspend or remove another elected. But there should be the ability, or even if it's an independent third party, necessarily mean council then.
Pressure on it.
There was a politician ran a couple elections ago, mayor seat, I won't say where, who was up on attempted charge. Prohibited from running for election, didn't win.
So are there so can you think of any other discretionary ability you'd like to have that you don't have? Nope. Okay. None. All right. Checklist, please indicate which regulations or responsibilities you find to be causing considerable pressure on our budget and our capacity to accomplish our core goal. So, surplus schools, we don't have any. Not now. And when we did, we got rid of them quick. So, surplus schools isn't our worry. Federal wastewater systems effluent regulation. Or that is one. Yeah, that's a pressure causer. Property value assessment services. That's a service that we pay for that service. Does it cause considerable pressure?
$300,000.
you don't want to dump.
It would be $20 million.
That one? The upcoming worker compensation board premiums for volunteer firefighters. This municipality's been doing that forever. They already do that. So that's not going to cause us considerable pressure. That. Minimum planning requirements, Coastal Protection Act. We already have pretty strict guidelines for planning. And the cost of police evidentiary lab analysis services. Yeah, if we ever had, fortunately, we've never suffered a mass murder or a string of nasty crimes that required a lot of analysis. But if we did, get an extra bill for that?
No, that's why you have RCMP.
That's all included.
We only pay about $7,000 a year, so it goes up by a couple hundred a year, so that's a minor.
So that doesn't cost us. That's not a check mark for us.
Insignificant to us.
Other. I put a question mark. What about property valuation assessment? Is it 300,000 they do is $50 million? I don't think it's a problem. Otherwise, stop running that again. And they do, and there is a system to work through. I assisted someone and was able to work that. I think it helped their kind of own that system. But as a municipality, we can that one off. So we just checked the federal wastewater systems of regulation. Any other responsibilities brought about by statutes or regulations not mentioned above that add significant pressures on your budget? So CICA, whatever, accounting rules sure do, but I mean, those are rules, right? Of all the new rules, the way we do our accounting. They add pressure to our budget, or they just make it for length time consuming?
Dollars on contaminated site assessments, depending on what they come back, tens of millions of dollars of work we have to do.
So well, what is it the CICA? So the CICA accounting rules, i.e. asset management.
Not asset management.
No, the, what is that, environmental?
Just all the new accounting rules.
All the new accounting rules. As an example, all that contamination site review that we have. Solid waste could go there. That does add pressure. Water regulation. Any town or amalgamated unit like us that runs a water treatment plant, it does add significant pressure on our budget. $8 million it costs to build that. So, the water regulations, solid waste, CIA accounting rules, anything else? Pressure? Put them on there again. If we funded them, I'll put it on there then. Should should the warden system be replaced by the mayoral system? We're really not that one. But if we had to, how would you answer it? You think it's better for the, but if you did, do you think it's better for the people to elect a mayor or for council to elect among themselves? Don't have to answer it.
Good.
But we should answer it. So as other people feel that you're better off to have an elected person by the people or council club? No, I think that's within the AFN. They run. But you'll see the same counties have the same mayor forever and ever because the same councilors stay and they all vote for the person. So village governance. So Chris is going to give you a little lesson. Yes, he is. On villages, because many new people, or Eric can give a lessons on villages and some places that are villages like Chester and New Minas. Chester, New Minas, the rules they have, the rules they don't have. Should they be consolidated with districts and counties? So who's going to give the
vote? One, there's still a debate whether it's 21 or 22, but potentially there's Scotia. All have their own taxing power. The smallest one is up the road from us and has a budget of $2,500 a year. The largest one would probably New Minas. 5,000 has a budget higher than towns in Scotia. But by being a village, they don't have to pay for roads, pay for any of those things that a town does. They get all of it provided by free, essentially by the county or by the province. There's a big benefit to them not hurting to towns, and that's why they're not they're all over the map, like I said, small, medium, large. Some that form some really the, like a quasi recreation department for the planned festivals and events and look after parks and spaces. There's other ones like Bible Hill with water system. It's all over the map. Discussion was had back last time. This was probably 7-8 villages were angry that our business, not villages, when the villages aren't part of NSFM. FM has no business even having this question on the survey, is what their position. 7-8. Not going to touch. Yeah, so the largest, most, I think, Kings County has like 7. I think
Bible Hill's a village.
Bible Hill's a village. Chester, but Kings is the biggest. I think they have 7. Even Kings County has some that are very big. They have some others like Cornwallis Square, which you've probably never heard of. If you haven't, Valley probably meets once, has a budget of a couple thousand dollars. Question is, serve that purpose or not, and whether you find them with the rural municipality that they're in, or if they're adjacent to town with the town to make it a service provider. Here we had 2 back at the time of amalgamation. We have 1 in Milton, Brooklyn. And what the Brooklyn Rec Committee or does over there now is what the Village Commission did essentially, other than I think they did some street lights too. Milton Association, when they were a village, they looked after the hall, Tupper Park. They operated at the time. And they looked after some sidewalks, a couple hydrants, street lights as well, I think. So the area rates came off, but well, they came off Milton. They're still in Brooklyn, but a rec came off Milton. Question: are they better served or less served by so that's the quick overview.
So should large villages be told we're actually a town and you need to pay for stuff? Small villages realize I wasn't, that wasn't part of a large unit, but it is, but then they get to have a higher area rate added on, and they get to control things, but they don't so many things. From what we heard from our CEO, do we think large villages such as Minus Bible Hill should be told, reality, you are a town and you should pay for what you provide? You know what Deputy Mayor Muse said? That villages be either consolidated in or if they wish to go on their own, but. Anyone in disagreement be consolidated? The next chart is a bit of a problem, simply because a lot of facts in it aren't quite right. And it talks about consolidation versus amalgamation when really quite the same. And Chris and I met and went through this, as did Eric. And he had seen this chart and sent back how it should have been corrected. It didn't get changed. So there's many differences between, there's things that aren't correct in this chart. For example, it says amalgamation is a top-down process. This region amalgamated, town and county, weren't told to, did it, set up their own terms of reference on how many seats, how many staff. It was a very bottom-up process. And so in actuality, consolidation, amalgamation, Chris, do you want to, there's some units that, what was that word? They just, dissolution means they cannot financially, they're not viable anymore. So they just pack in and they say we're dissolving. And therefore counties or neighbors get them as a matter of dissolution.
Additionally, I think that in this chart you're looking at consolidation and amalgamation, and they're trying to differentiate on sort of structure. There are dissolutions, so in the past there have been towns involved in building the municipality, what's not an corporation going from us are different parts that are chart, but for purposes of the question, what whether or not.
Question is, the right decision for Queens amalgamated, recommend other people, recommend you go back to municipalities, other people should stay apart and not amalgamate.
Councilor?
I think it works for some, doesn't work for others. And in Lunenburg, of course, they've talked about that. Ask me how it works up here. It works great because we have one center. Bridgewater and Home Bay and Lunenburg, everybody wants to be the chief. It's going to be a hard job for amalgamation. Everybody wants to.
Is Is amalgamation a benefit to like the geographic area? Like putting aside, not gonna have the same amount of counselors, not gonna have two CAOs, whatever. Is it a benefit to a geographic area, regardless of county line? Is it a benefit to a geographic area with of similar minded industry you can provide your services? Does it make sense to amalgamate or consolidate? But we're not telling them the municipal government is going to looking at service exchange, and this is part of the Municipal Government Act. Should they state when their situation gets, well, what was the example of Mulgrave? They want it to.
Well, there are some examples in the province.
They want
it
to fold
where,
in and
where
county wouldn't take them.
Yeah, where maybe a town has become insolvent or other circumstances have been attempts to dissolve and there's not been a town that some instance there a town wants to dissolve, but they don't have that option.
Like
on as is.
You look at a spot like Lockport, for instance, that's been going on forever. Lockport and Shelburne. Lockport's five councillors, one mayor, 600 people. It's not really beneficial. But and then their budget is so small they can't get anything done because it's not such a small area. They would benefit by being in with Shelburne, but they're scared of being in with Shelburne because they're scared of being swallowed up. Nothing gets done there, so that would work.
For example, if you wanted to grow an area, and let's say there was still the municipality of Queens and the town of Liverpool. And there'd be competitions about industry, about where to build, and all those types of things. Does amalgamation lessen that competition? Like, if you have amalgamation or consolidated units, can you more readily grow your geographic area rather than be competing all the time
mm-hmm.
with one another? So amalgamation can help increase costs of your services separately, helps grow area, lessen that competitive nature that's found between these close units that should, they work together under some service agreements. Of course, it's how well those service agreement relationships work. You can just get rid of all that. You can just get rid of up in Yarmouth County, who knows how many service agreements there are between fire departments and everything else. And if you're all one, you don't need all those service agreements. You don't need staff spending time on those things.
Mayor Norman, can I ask a favor? We have camera items to deal with.
One
I know you got four pages after.
Oh, right. Yeah. Want to move
I'm just wondering if we could move in camera because I know Director Grant and I have a commitment mid-afternoon
at
that we have to deal with. Other issues here that I wouldn't want us to today not get done, and I think this can wait a little bit. Ask if there's disability of council.
And we, and we've got Eric to help us with that.
In camera for a short period.
So is council of the move that we're gonna just break in camera? Seconded by Councilor Gidney. All those in favor? Okay, back in our public session, Councilor Gidney has expressed his regrets, but he had to leave. We have one item coming out of in camera, 9.1, and then we're going to resume 8.3, the NSM service exchange. So who would like to make a motion respect item 9.1? Councilor Romero?
Council of Regional Commonality approved the administrative administration.
And that's seconded by Councilor Brown. So as we all are aware, we lost a administrative assistant. Upon the resignation of that person, a few of the minor responsibilities to a new position of a full-time deputy clerk, and who was also assumed many responsibilities of the CAO. Within our administrative building, we are lacking in administrative support in all departments. Our expectation that this person trained to work across all departments, working as needed and taking on very other specific roles. Now I'm gonna ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed.
No.
Now we are back 8.3, and we were on question number 5. What incentives could be put in place to make amalgamation a viable option? So for units that were wishing to amalgamate or consolidate, what would be some things to make it more viable? Like increasing efficiencies, grants in which way? What do you mean by that? Like the provincial transition costs, like the cost of the units to amalgamate, like that the province continue taking those costs on? Is that what you meant when you said grants?
Yeah.
Incentivize other units for Councilor Fancy?
Well, I think that when you get more money, you have more opportunities to for grants, because you have more collective monies together. Boundary areas go away. Things like, for instance, transit. Our transit can go everywhere. Bridgewater transit has to stay in Bridgewater. Same thing up in Yarmouth and things like that, where you take away those boundary lines where you can be able to go in and back and forth. Those are great assets.
So perhaps making units that are considering amalgamation or consolidation aware of those efficiencies. Like being able to run transit everywhere, is the time you save, or knowledge of the efficiencies of running an amalgamated unit. I mean, it's
more
not
money
cheaper.
For programs. Like you can be able to do things that you could do all over the place, because you could have a coordinator who can go in different areas and do things.
Efficiency of knowledge of sharing system, sharing sewer systems. And it's incentives to incentivize other units to do it. So maybe the knowledge of those benefits. The provincial transition costs. Continue and grow and be more flexible. Anything you can think of, CAO McNeil?
Just that the province owes us $1.3 million, and I'm
right.
Still going to still try to collect it every day.
Yes. So for anyone who sees our MLA, when we amalgamate it, the province said, you're not getting the deal, you'll have to look after. At the time of amalgamation, the town, like all other towns, could claim 25%?
No, we got $50,000 a year towards our roads.
$50,000 a year toward the roads in Liverpool. That's what every town gets, $50,000. But when we amalgamate it, we got a line through that. No longer get it. But units that have amalgamated since us, they still get that. Amalgamated in with towns. So, money.
Oh, that's
I just keep adding 50,000 every year. Now it's 1.3 million. Last year it was 1.25. I haven't added interest yet, but every time I talk to them, I keep telling them they owe us the money.
Because all these new units are all, they still get 50,000 from towns. So continuation of those type things are important for units to amalgamate. 16, related to municipal revenue. What or expanded revenue sources do we believe most viable? For example, right now we still pay a percentage of HST. Should municipalities be zero exempt HST? Would that help us? Have to pay any. People in agreement with that? That if we didn't pay any HST, that would help us? Pay some. How much do we pay now?
My rebate's 4.5.
So you can't claim it back?
Not all of it.
We claim 57.14%.
But we don't claim it all.
But we can't get the other
20. So should we be able to claim that HST?
I would say.
100%?
I don't know. Long time ago, nonprofits typically get 50-50. So, I mean, long time ago, we didn't pay HST. Didn't pay any of that cost, and then probably 25 years ago, it got changed to a formula. So I'm not sure how that 57.1 came up, how they came up with that formula. I don't know. Been that way for a long time now.
What about forest tax? Look on our assessment roll, we get very little money. Pardon? Yeah, should forest tax be, should there be a change on people who own whatever significant charge cents an acre? Very much.
Right now it's 25 and 40.
25
cents an acre. Penny.
Forest tax. How could we gain more money other than raising people's profit?
So for example, if you own 100 acres, it's 25 cents. You pay $25 a year. 100 acres, that's resource. Everybody else, plus, so it was a farm or bonafide farm, but a farmland or other vacant land or whatever for housing or whatever, pay whatever it is, a dollar, per rate is a dollar, six times that, you pay 25,000, or not 25,000, you pay 500.
Forest Act and great for the Bowater Merseys of the world, sawmill operators, large. I think that perhaps somewhat.
Probably 30, 40, 50. Been a long time, but the forestry sector has a very strong lobbying.
That is. I think, are we okay about the rated transfer? We don't want to see our ability to go any higher on D transfer, do we? What about currently we get so much dependent upon their ability to produce, not the amount they produce. but they're, feel there should be more revenue off of solar power.
Solar.
Wind, well, turbine.
So think right now, that proposal you saw, they're gonna build the road, call it all, they're gonna maintain it all, they're gonna do all that stuff. Not gonna cost us 10 cents, and we'll get something like that? You think that's a fair trade-off? Versus other ones where we have to put in water, sewer, build roads, put in other stuff, we'll have to spend 10 cents on that one. And whether it's that one or the other one, because there's another one up in the buck, without any money from us. Dollars is pretty good for.
Yep.
We don't get anything for solar.
Solar bring us any dust tax, would it?
Oh.
Not utility? So we're gonna add on solar, and Carl, you want to say something? That's a good one. Gonna put that at the top of the list? Commercial taxation. Unless, right, unless it's.
Well, wouldn't you?
Commercial taxation. Licensing and registration. Understanding that the problems would probably make saying, if you have an Airbnb in your home and it's one bedroom and you're living there, that's different. That's different than what we're seeing. No. On that.
So between the 23 and 11, 34 homes that people can't live in.
That's right.
Yep.
That's why we have a housing
and there's
crisis.
Many in, and there's several in Liverpool and Milton and Caledonia. So far on one.
And there's others.
And
so when people
talent.
Say we've got to fix the housing crisis,
right.
We've got to fix, get more housing stuff,
problem.
People just have to look in the mirror because it's our own residents or people that are seasonal residents, bring it to ourselves.
But I don't think it should be just the Airbnbs on a separate, I think if you're having it in your own home, it should be taxed different. Yeah. Right.
Percentage.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to get away with it by
no.
doing it in your house. Where you
independent
got three
Airbnb is just look what's going on in your Western Head area. How many units are going up out there and how many more are coming? They're all straight short-term rental.
Who's building those, that new units down there too? I mean, it's they're being built everywhere.
That's all, that's Brooklyn, that's all yeah. short-term rental. Okay, that's a where are we? All right. So we had solar, we had taxation, oh, we had wind taxation was okay. It's solar tax and Airbnb. Yeah, we put solar tax on there. I mean, if a person put in a solar utility, why wouldn't we get some type of taxation off?
Quite with push power, Robin legislated it, so.
So then it talks about grants in lieu of. No, we're talking about utility. utility. We're talking about industrial scale solar.
No, I understand that, but even that, still using renewable energy, creating renewable energy. I understand, okay.
So he's, the grants in lieu of taxes. So we get, so that's farmland, Nova Scotia power tax in lieu, other provincial federal grant, and then it lists all of these, just for your information, I did ask which ones we use. So emergency services provider fund, I believe you said, fire departments access that directly. So we don't use it, though our fire departments use that one. Full innovation program, I've never, that one that we don't.
Apply for asset management.
That's right, we were going to apply for the asset management money, but fine, and we didn't. So we haven't accessed that. Provincial capital assistant program, yes. Access that, probably we should have more money. All capital improvement. Flood infrastructure. It's a very small grant, not enough for the province, not enough for the to even look at. So that needs more money in it. Investment program, never accessed that. Fire protection grant, that's an automatic. Automatic goes, municipal floodline mapping program, kind of somewhat involved with that, but not major. Beautification, streetscaping, yes, that's helpful. That's where we get our money for facade. Community works program, full, but never applied it because you need staff in order to access these programs and hire and do all those sorts of stuff. And the gas tax, yes, and the 911 grant, whatever.
Automatic.
Automatic. So those are the ones we've received for operational expenses. And how could they be improved?
So
they can just give us more money. Allow stacking. That's a good. So what Councillor Brown means is if we get money from the feds or whoever for gas stack, then we're not supposed to take other provincial federal monies and stack it up. We can only use so much of this and so much of that. We have to use so much of our own money. More money. Stacking. Climate, all that stuff.
What about money carryovers? Sometimes you lose it if you don't use it in a year.
So if we had a grant, we didn't use it, carry it over for the next year?
Always, I've never seen it ever get dealt.
Yeah,
so
I just wonder if we have any of those that we lose.
Not in my lifetime. I ever remember losing it. I mean, there's been deadlines, but the province or feds have always extended it. So I've never ever seen us ever have return money unless the project was done under budget and we had to send back a portion.
Okay.
But I've never, most of the deadlines are pretty long now, yeah. Never been an issue.
What had grants have we received for capital, like infrastructure? What capital? What grants? Is that like the gas tax? That's capital gas.
So what? Capital expenses. So our fire departments have received service provider. That they applied to. Correct. Obviously we get gas tax. Capital. Capital. So we've received infrastructure.
Could we improve it?
Some facade money and that beautification. Every second year we're using that. And then we've did get some flood risk. Got 35,000 for study operating capital.
What's investment?
think that, it doesn't necessarily say there, but I think we're referring to Municipal Finance Corporation. So we invest our money directly with the bank here versus we can invest it with Municipal Finance Corporation, who invest it with the $5 billion the province has and a bigger pot of money they would invest in. The hopes that they would, there are some municipalities do it because they get a better interest rate. That's what, I assume that's what it is. That's the only one I'm aware of.
Grants. Keeping in mind, this is just one in many. So is there anything about our municipality that we believe deserves special consideration? And that's where I put the OZ's $1.3 million for the roads grant from 96 to 2022 upon amalgamation, we lost $1,000. Disability. I mean, plus, what are we, 50 some high percentage of people over, like, shouldn't our age demographic and our, shouldn't all those things be taken? Pardon? Ren? No Ren? There is none. Close, this is your. So flooding, age, inability for rent, or poverty rate, disability, we still owe money. So is there anything else we want to share on?
We talked before, and I don't know if that's still an issue, how great it is, but the nurse practitioners. I don't know, it's not a cost factor, but if they were able to do more duties, they could be able to help with our doctor shortages and things that get less downtime.
I think they just...
More responsibility?
Yeah.
I know they were negotiating it.
Yeah.
Did they?
They're working at that.
Okay. One other thing, which is maybe only small, but when they hired on, I think 20 or 30 drivers for the to help out here with the care over here. I think it's what you call it now here anyway. The ambulance driver. Anyway.
Oh, EMS.
EMS, and they put them up in in Halifax, Yarmouth and Cape Breton, and they didn't bring them down to Bridgewater area or anything, so that our people going from hospitals to hospitals, that whole idea was to give an ambulance driver just to take away one of the paramedics to be able to put so much wait times, they didn't bring them down here to cover the rest of the province.
And so that's the fairness or equality of spreading out EMS care that someone noted earlier. I also know that fire departments are pushing hard to transport. I'm not sure what the legal ramifications around that are. Ambulatory care is a problem. They're concerned about EMS, EHS, availability, questions regarding medical first responder transport.
Their overtime hours, because they're paramedic.
The just sitting in the hospitals waiting.
Yep.
Spending half the day in there waiting.
Medical responders, transport, question mark. And also our question I thought of, it concerns us all, but what can we do as municipal council for poverty? Like, what can we do? Like,
all kinds.
What can we do? The library. Well, we've done stuff. We've reduced tax, you know, but. All. Yep.
If I may, just on.
That was SurveyMonkey.
If I may, just the last on the item, the biggest thing we talked about another issue is that the province passed legislation resulting first.
Yeah, but we need to put it on paper.
It's never been learned. We tell them all the time and they still do it.
The legislation affects.
Maybe an incentive.
Like, do we need inspectors being controlled through a Nova Scotia Building Inspector Association, or should, as the province says, you must hire these, should they not, like, it's like province look at more of the unstamping of lumber. Right now, that's controlled by the Maritime Lumber Bureau. Is it a concern of ours that could zone all Western had, let's say if we did zone it special residential housing only, and an agriculture company wanted to set up offshore, said this is going to be all residential living, but then 200 feet away from someone's house in the water can become a huge dust operation with noise and lights and everything else, even though 200 feet away is all strictly residential housing. Have any input on aquaculture placement and zoning for aquaculture?
Affects our areas.
But should it correlate with our to correlate with our on-land zoning? No, that was because in Yarmouth, they had a company that wanted to set up an on-land aquaculture site on municipal land. They had to rezone it and pass it, but it wasn't a closed circuit system. So it was just going to suck water in and it was going to shoot it all back out without purifying it. So it might as well have been in the ocean. But should we have, you know, if say this is all nice residential living, and then all of a sudden in our land use thing says, nope, you can't have any industry, don't even bother to apply because you're not going to get it. And yet right there, a big old industry can come sit up in the marine waters.
One quick question, our CAO brought up here before about a small project. But I don't know if it will ever may be, don't have to be able to get them certified at a lower level or something and start taking away some of the load off our building inspector. They're backing everything up so badly.
So a review of the building and the whole.
I don't know what you would say, but that's a. Because we talked about it before, is this the time to put this in?
like, do we need a top quality building inspector on a doorstep?
Yes.
Head or?
Exactly. But
we don't.
Over 250 square feet. And most of them now are.
Accessory. That will put the building inspector. What about sawmills and things? Province. Further at the whole licensing prom thing for inspector stamp. But if I have a permit to stamp inspect, why can't I go to? They shouldn't use it in the other one either.
All interpretation. Like, of course, the requirements of the building code very strictly, other municipalities don't. So if you're doing a renovation, inspectors in other places sometimes overlook it, they don't need to put a ramp in, they don't need to provide accessible, but we do for a long time. Brief over, but it's the right thing.
And we're not a municipality that's told our building inspector to shut their eyes.
I expect that problem is going to solve itself real soon.
Yeah.
Overlooking the building code.
Is there anything else? So I think we're all finished. Eric, are you going to type these up and send them away? Today was a deadline date, but I told them
no.
It might be tomorrow. I told them we were only discussing it today.
I'll type them up, review them, and then I'll send them.
We don't need to review them.
Okay.
I trust your judgment. Well, they might have sent
also
us out. Whatever.
But they won't even look at the responses
right.
For probably
and they
a month,
might get
so.
Them next week.
Tell them.
Yeah.
Motion to move. Motion. Oh, we don't need to have a motion to adjourn. So we're all gone. We're all
okay.
Done.
But you have one issue to
we have. Yes, we have. Shut that off.
One issue to figure
yep.
Out.
Deputy Mayor Muse, you find her on my way Monday.